What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land, and welcome to episode 387 of the Straight Shooters, available wherever podcasts are found. My name is Vaughn Johnson, joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone of Fox PHL, the gambler and Philly influencer, and we have another fantastic show ahead of us here on episode 387. We're going to do a live commentary. We're going to live commentate the very first Elimination Chamber match. Of course, we got the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in a couple weeks. We're going to go take it all the way back to the beginning. November 2002, the very first Elimination Chamber from Madison Square Garden. Six people walk in, one person walks out as the World Heavyweight Champion. We're going to talk all about it as we live commentate it later in the show. But we have to start our show with some, obviously, some very somber happenings in the world today. During what should be a very joyous occasion in a Super Bowl parade, turned into tragedy as a mass shooting broke out. We don't know the circumstances surrounding it yet. I don't think that's been reported yet. But what we do know is one person died in the midst of the shooting. And there are a lot of people also in the hospitals right now in Kansas City, fighting for their lives right now. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of talk about, you know, why this happened. And there's going to be a lot of thoughts and prayers and a lot of discussion in the media about guns and people and all this stuff, man. But it's almost like it's kind of normal lies almost in a bizarre way, in a sad way. To me, the shocking thing is that it happens at a Super Bowl parade, which is everybody's supposed to be happy and having a good time. And this happens, and it shouldn't happen anywhere, obviously. But we don't know what led to this again yet as of this recording here on Wednesday night. But it's sad, man. It's real sad to see something like that happen, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who did it, what led up to it. It's still a symptom of a problem, of a large problem in our country when it comes to firearms, regardless of, again, what led to it. It's a symptom of a larger problem. So, and our hearts, you know, our thoughts, our prayers can go out to the people who are have lost someone in the midst of this, or, you know someone that affected by this, you know, tragedy. It's terrible. Nick, I don't know if you had any thoughts on it before we shift gears.
Yeah, we hear people say it's the person, not the gun. And I just disagree completely. If a person is thinking of causing harm, there's one weapon that can cause the most harm in the most short amount of time. And that's championed right now in this country. And 12 years ago, you had elementary students killed in Sandy Hook. And when nothing changed after that, people just kind of lost hope. And I think that's, you know, why we're just kind of like, oh, another one, every single time we hear about this. And it's always in, public places like that where none of these mass shootings are good, but having it in a place that's like a celebration of a championship in North American sports that, we love it. Like it's in the grand scheme of the world, sports, is it important? Like in some countries it really is. We try to use it as an escape, but it's really not that anymore.
Something like this happens.
No. And you know what, I can't imagine it happening when we had our parade in 2018 and how just amazing the vibes were that day. How long we've been waiting for that. Even the first one I ever went to, the 2008 parade when the Phillies won, and thinking like, just what if, you know, and even thinking like, what if that it's not that far of a long shot that it could happen again, you know, in a place like that. So some people even said, I'm surprised it took this long. Like, that's where we're at right now in America. Like,
yeah,
we're going to hear about something happening again in the future, and we're going to just say like, oh, I'm surprised that didn't happen yet. It'll be like the first one to ever happen in a certain area or a certain event, and just be like, I'm surprised it didn't happen yet. You know, the last year, MLB, was it the Chicago White Sox game? Somebody had a gun and accidentally shot themselves, like, in the stands. And they were trying to, like, lie about it, and then everyone thought, okay, maybe the shot came from outside the stadium, and everyone was, like, so perplexed about it until finally the person confessed, like, she had, you know, a gun on her, and it accidentally discharged and shot her in the leg and stuff. And
man, imagine, got a gun into a stadium.
Imagine if that gun accidentally discharged into, like, a family sitting in front of you enjoying a baseball game, and, like, that's their final, you know, memory. One of the, if it hits one person or it hits more than one, it's so crazy that we're just at this point where, and then it's so, I can't believe how polarizing it is, but I guess I can at this point in 2024. But in 2012, I would have been like, oh, like, of course people are gonna, like, bang the drum, right, and get rid of guns, because elementary school kids were just killed. And that was the first year I worked at a school, and I'm just like, it hit me way differently because of my everyday job, you know, being in a school. And just, you know, school shootings were obviously, you know, happening before I started working at one, but elementary school kids, you know, like the 20 plus, and it hits you. It was just, the way it hit me was unlike any other, you know, tragedy I had learned about before that. And, you know, since then, it's just, you know, people will say it's not the gun, it's the person. But again, what other weapon causes that much harm in so little time?
I mean, regardless of what type of gun they had today, it's still just a problem that there's so many of any gun, really, you know. It could have been an assault rifle, could have been a handgun, you know, probably wasn't a handgun with how many people were hit, but doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter because they're just, it's proliferation of it, of guns in general. But
And how about those two? Did you see the video of the two guys tackling? They were running after one of the shooters and they tackled them. It's like,
I did see that, which is, man, that's hella courageous.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's just, again, overall, just a sad day. I feel bad for obviously everyone involved in this, and, you know, this tragic thing. I feel bad for, you know, the people who wanted to go out and have a good time at and enjoy their team, the team that's won their third championship in 5 years. It should be should be riding, you know, it should be as happy as you could be. You should be in sports heaven, you know, and then the day is obviously just ruined. Like, lives are changed forever because of something like this. Like you said, this, you might think this could be a tipping point. Like you said, surprise, it hasn't happened sooner. It's like, will this prevent another city from doing something like this? I don't think it would happen immediately, but if something like this would have happened again, there might be a serious conversation.
It makes me not want to go out in public. You know, it makes me,
right,
you know what? WrestleMania's in Philly. Maybe I'll just stay home and watch it on TV, because you just don't know. You do not know. And that's like why, you know, just thinking about it, going to WrestleMania, like, as a wrestling fan, would be like a hell of a great experience, right? But that could happen there too, you know? So it literally could happen anywhere in America. And that's, you know, you really have to go out and just assume that it's a possibility. And I hate that we're there. I hate that we're at this point.
Very unfortunate indeed. And so yeah, again, it's sad. That's just how we're going to put a ball on that. And because that's just what it is. It's what it's going to be. And that's not going to change anytime soon. It's just sad. Let's make an, you know, awkward transition to some lighter news, to something that we missed on our most recent show, episode 386, which was recorded before Super Bowl Sunday, or before the Super Bowl happened. So,
again, congratulations. Super Bowl Sunday, but before the Super Bowl. the Super Bowl itself.
Right. I congratulated both teams, but I guess since the game happened, congratulations to the Chiefs for winning again. I feel like, but the good news is, before we kind of get to the troll job you're going to do here, I got to still mention the good news. But we didn't mention it on that show is what I was getting to. But the news I want to get to is that former WCW United States champion Steve Mongo McMichael was selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. And for one, he deserved it. I think we've talked about, and I know I've talked about Mongo McMichael on our podcast and his football career, and how good he was. And I'm pretty sure I said he probably should be in the Hall of Fame. And he's in now. Yeah, but it's also great that he got in, at least he knows that he's in, before, you know, as he's been diagnosed with ALS, and you know there's no cure for ALS, and it's a terminal disease, and so we're not sure how much longer, you know, Mongo has left. So it's nice to, you know, before, you know, he left this earth, that he is known, he knows that he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. No matter what the disease has done to him, they can't take that away from him. So that's really cool. That's cool that he's still alive to you know, receive that accolade. It'd be nice to me. It pisses me off a little bit though, because I don't understand why people make these people wait for so long. Like, I don't know why, you know, I understand the Hall of Fame is like the height of prestige for an individual and you know, an athlete and that in professional sports, getting into a Hall of Fame. But I feel like people safeguard it like it's like the Nobel Peace Prize, bro. Like, it's not that serious. Like, Mongo was a Hall of Famer 10 years ago. He's a Hall of Famer 15 years ago. Like, his numbers hasn't changed. He hasn't played in over 20 years. Now, why did you make him wait? If you thought he's a Hall of Famer, would it just be splitting hairs? And they wait until the man had a terminal disease to finally put him in. It's like, you could have put him in way before this because he deserved it before this. And I just hate that sometimes, man. I think even WWE did it. They would put Macho Man Randy Savage in after he passed away. It's like, why didn't you do it while he was alive? You know, like,
yeah. I never watched Mongo play, because my first year watching the NFL, I'd say like religiously, was 1999, 2000. So I just did not see him play. And I just know him as the Four Horsemen, the Mongo that was part of WrestleMania 11 in Lawrence Taylor's corner, who did commentary on Nitro and then became a member of the Four Horsemen. So, and he still did a great job at that. Like, he wasn't the most technical wrestler, but he knew how to talk, and
he was good enough.
Yeah. So that's the Mongo I knew, but clearly a lot of people before that already said he was a Hall of Famer. I'm sure. WCW commentary, they were just like, he's eventually going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we got him. And right here, he's a U.S. champ. So he did a lot even after playing football, but great honor for him. And like you said, it's nice that he gets to know before his time on Earth is over that he will be in there.
Yeah, hopefully you can make it to the ceremony and enjoy that weekend, because it's a good time.
August, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Congratulations to Mongo McMichael again, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and of course, former WCW United States Champion. I don't know if you saw the ESPN piece that did about him getting into the Hall of Fame, but they mentioned like his football career, obviously, but they also went into his wrestling career. They interviewed Ric Flair for it.
Okay.
But it's just like wild to see like the stuff we've been watching on this podcast for multiple years. Him in the Four Horsemen with the Halliburton suit briefcase, and it's on ESPN because he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So he had a story about his Super Bowl ring. He had a whole angle about his Super Bowl ring. How many football players can say they won the Super Bowl and people fought over it in a wrestling ring? That's pretty cool.
It is. It'd be nice, you know, if he got put into the WWE Hall of Fame, you know, coming up. So I don't know if they would do that, but it would be nice to see that.
Why not, man? Who cares? Yeah. Who cares? Put them in. Why not? We're not going to safeguard this stuff.
We don't have guidelines anyway, so it's just about.
And the same thing with these other Hall of Fames. Pro Baseball Hall of Fame acting like you get a ticket to heaven when you get into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, come on. Ridiculous how they safeguard that place. But speaking of the Super, we want to put a bow on this sports topic here with I feel like there's a winning team in Super Bowl 58. There's also a losing team in Super Bowl 58. And you had something to say to that losing team's fan base.
If you'll remember what I said Sunday, I needed, as much as I, you know, not a fan of the Chiefs, I needed them to win because it meant that this would happen.
Snap it, Mahomes going to roll to his right, throws, touchdown. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl. Mecole Hardman. As they roll Mahomes right, Mecole Hardman is wide open. And the Chiefs win the Super Bowl back-to-back years. Another heartbreaking loss for Kyle Shanahan.
Dang it!
I'm not entirely sure that could have went better for me, personally, first of all. And second of all, it got a lot of play on websites like USA Today and Sports Illustrated. One of my favorite things about the Super Bowl was that moment. And I was almost watching it as like, you know, I had the adrenaline going and I was like, come on, because like this will give me life for the next, you know, few weeks. You know, Phillies are coming up, first day pitchers and catchers. So obviously I'm looking forward to that, right? Eagles are doing what they're doing, but I'm not really going to start paying attention to them. You know, I'll watch the draft and I'll pay attention to that. They already made their coordinator moves. They signed a linebacker today, but like, I'm not caring about any of that. Which, by the way, today, Kyle Shanahan fires Steve Wilks as his defensive coordinator after that.
Yeah, what the hell?
But he kept Patrick Mahomes in check for three some odd quarters.
Yeah, I'm like, the defense was pretty good all season.
Like, it might have not been as good as last year.
The Chiefs didn't go off at all.
No, like,
I think they were better this year. Yeah, Jermon Hargrave. Jermon Hargrave went back to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I see, you know, and obviously 49ers fans are biased, but some of them are saying the defense wasn't as good this year, so they're kind of...
Some of them are
poo-pooing, but they're probably looking at stats.
They also, I think Mufanga was hurt all year. The safety. He was like all-pro safety. So, yeah, maybe you took a step back, but like you still got to the Super Bowl. What is wrong with y'all?
I mean, 19 points to Patrick Mahomes in regulation. I mean, like
that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
They held Jalen Hurts to 19 points too. Yeah. They were pretty damn good. They crushed the Cowboys. Remember what they did to the Cowboys?
Yeah.
I don't.
And then they did almost lose to the Packers and Lions, but you know they won, so credit to them.
And it wasn't like
I could say that now because they lost
the scoreboard.
Yeah, I could say credit to them for coming back in the Lions game because they lost. But the best part was not just that they lost, but it's like how they lost, because now we get to clown them for a year, they tried to do to us as Eagles fans. The year before, you know, you didn't beat. If we had a quarterback, we would have won. They went into that game with two quarterbacks, and it just so happens they got hurt against the Eagles. Like, you know, I don't love injuries, but that's literally what happened. It's not like the 49ers went into that game shorthanded. You know, they became shorthanded because of the Eagles. So, you know, they go with all that narrative and whatnot. But now I get to, first of all, why are you taking the ball and over time? I know he explained that, but like
that's rough. That's real rough, bro. Because here's the thing: this is the rule that I have been pining for years. Is that each team gets a possession, just like, and I don't want to say it again. It's the Arena Football League overtime rule. I love Arena Football, so I mean, pat myself in the back for finally getting this. This is the perfect rule. They should do this throughout the regular season too. Each team gets a possession. If it's still tied, I don't know if it's still tied to sudden death. I'm assuming is that what the rule is. I didn't even see the graphic all the way through.
Yeah, if it's still tied, and the clock doesn't matter, so the clock would have rolled over.
Right, the clock doesn't matter because it's the Super Bowl. Somebody's got to win. So,
right. So I would have I was confused about that until it was explained. But yeah, if it was tied
it's
after
perfect
both
rule.
Teams possessed the ball, it would have been sudden death.
It would have been sudden death. Okay, so that's perfect rule. Okay, I'm always in favor of that. I don't like the half measure with the touchdown, but if it's a field goal, then no.
Right.
Each team gets a possession. If it's still tied, sudden death. All right, boom. It with the other rule, with the regular season rule, yes, you take the ball first because if it's a touchdown, you win. But it's, with this rule, it's like college. Don't take the ball. I was surprised. Me and my wife, you know, knows overtime rules. Even she was like, why would they take the ball? Like, I didn't usually kick the ball on that. Usually give them the ball in that instance. Like, if it's tied after that, like, or if it's each team gets possession. And apparently they didn't know the rule. That's tough. That feels like something that should be discussed. Okay. Like, when you start the postseason, this overtime rule changes dramatically. It changes your coin toss strategy. Mm-hmm. That should have been discussed, bro. How do they not know the rule?
And there are videos out there. The Chiefs were surprised that they took the ball. You know, like
as was I.
You know, you win the coin toss, you assume they're going to defer. So I really think part of me wishes the 49ers scored a touchdown on that first possession because I kind of wanted them to see thinking they won the game and then see their reaction to be like, no. Kansas City still gets a possession. You know, they could still tie the game. And then, obviously, Kyle Shanahan says, oh, we were playing for the third possession. But it's like, well, if Kansas City scores a touchdown, they could just go for two, win the game. Like, you're putting your strategy in their hands. You know, so I think it's a lot easier to give them the ball and then know exactly what you need to do.
Right.
In your possession.
Who thinks about the third possession? I don't give a damn what they do. I got to worry about what I got to do.
Yeah.
Hopefully defense gets a stop. But if they score any points, I got to know what I got to do after that.
And part of me thinks he still don't know because the defense was gassed, right? I mean, we kind of all saw that. And they just had no clue what they were doing on that game-winning play. It looked like call a timeout there, you know, kind of like settle it down, get your defense a little bit of rest. And then like it really made it look like he did not know that the clock rolled over. Like he just assumed Kansas City was going to kick a field goal to tie the game and then start a new overtime period. That's really what it came across. I don't know if he's ever going to say that, but like you watch the game and you just watch like Andy Reid let the clock run down, and I'm saying the same thing because I didn't know the rule until Tony Romo said it on the broadcast.
100%. I totally forgot the rule.
I'm like, why aren't they calling a timeout? What the hell? And then he's like, the clock rolls over, even though, it's, you know, first and goal right now. It's still going to roll over if it expires.
We don't start a new period.
Come and play. Yeah. Right. The only thing they'll do is like switch sides and stuff like that.
It's a formality.
At first, I was like, wait, what the hell? But
yeah,
like,
the clock
doesn't.
The clock didn't even matter. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's great. It's such a great rule.
Why not call a timeout there knowing that it's not like you're not just holding them to a field goal? They're literally a first and goal. So they're going to have at least three opportunities to score a touchdown. And if they reach fourth down, they could either kick the field goal or they will try. Maybe they'll go for it.
And there's no way they were running out of time.
Right.
And they're not going to run out of time. They'd kick a field goal before that.
Right, and he had timeouts to burn, so I just don't know why you kind of leave your defense out there. And obviously
they didn't let the clock run down to like 10 seconds, something like that. It got down low in the game. I was surprised they let it get down quite that low, as low as it got, because you're playing with fire. You know, something happens. Somebody gets stood up, and they make up too many moves. Time runs out, and you're sick. But they executed. That's why they're the champion, so good for them. But yeah, you happy now? You got your troll job on 49ers fans.
One of my first tweets after the game was, I had two really good ones that I was very proud of.
Very proud of.
You know, but I was like, come on, I just wanted the Chiefs to win so I could use these memes. So I had, you know, the one where the guy he's sitting there in his jacket with his arms folded, like he's at his hater's funeral. And he's like, I just came here to make sure that he was dead. And I put that in front of the Allegiant Stadium with the San Francisco logo and everything. I was like, I'm just here to make sure they're dead. And then Drew McIntyre's, I pray for this to happen. And my caption was, I prayed, or not only did the 49ers lose, but they did it in excruciating fashion. And then I posted a quote from Drew. I was like, I prayed for this to happen.
Man. It was
like fantastic. And then I obviously had the radio calls on the 49ers side. Hey. And then one that I particularly loved, and like the 90s kids will hopefully think it's funny. A Full House episode where they were watching, the family was watching a home video of the mother and slash wife slash sister that passed away. And I just superimposed the radio call, the 49ers radio call over top of that.
Hey, so yo.
They're all looking at the TV like sad. And
that's horrible.
The radio call.
Oh my God.
It's my favorite one so far. But there will be more, I'm sure, as we move forward. I'm not going to stop. You know, they didn't stop all year.
Oh my God.
If I have an idea, I'm going to go through with it, because now it's almost like the 49ers are in shambles. They're pointing the finger at everyone. They're like, we didn't know the rules. And you have players turning on each other and be like,
yeah,
oh,
that was wild.
Blocked.
There's been some wild stuff tweeted.
Really?
Even about Eagles players in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
There's been some wild stuff posted. And
which, by the way, if that was true about Jalen Carter, then I don't condone that, but both players were in the wrong at that point.
I don't think there's any winners in this situation.
It's just crazy how it's been the last few days. But hey, listen, I got
what a weird rivalry
Day gift.
What a weird rivalry. Oh yeah, also I forgot to mention, happy Valentine's Day, y'all.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like we both, you know, got nothing else better to do, but we do. we also committed to y'all.
That's right.
You know, committed to our listeners and our audience out there. But that was a tough loss for the 49ers, man. I'm sure that was a bitter pill to swallow. That's also for that particular group. That's two Super Bowl losses in like 4 years,
and
to the same team.
Chef's kiss, because
to the same team. Like that's excruciating. You know, in heartbreaking fashion, blown 10-point leads in both games. Like, and that group might not be together next year. Who knows? Mm. So that's a bitter pill to swallow, obviously, but that's enough current day tragedies and nonsense and everything else. Current events can suck sometimes. That's why we talk about the past, which, I mean, some of those events suck too, but
yeah, looking back, a lot of not great stuff, but we try to focus on the entertaining aspects.
We try
as much as we can.
We try. 1995 notwithstanding. But one of those entertaining aspects was the very first Elimination Chamber. And you can see how far we've come. Because today, this match is now its own show. Its own pay-per-view. And not only is it its own pay-per-view, it's right now, it's a marquee show on the calendar. It's in a stadium in Australia. I mean, thousands
wild.
Of people
that is wild
in a stadium across the world for Elimination Chamber, but it all started.
It literally is like WrestleMania. WrestleMania started at Madison Square Garden. Elimination Chamber started at Madison Square Garden. Now it's in a stadium.
Right, very humble beginnings in that little known arena known as Madison Square Garden. You might not have heard of it here and there, but yeah, we're gonna live commentate the very first one, which of course was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Triple H defending against Shawn Michaels, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, Chris Jericho, and Kane.
You might think we did this before. We did.
Who cares?
Our mics sucked and we didn't have audio capabilities, and it's not in our feed anymore. It was one of the early episode we did. So even if you wanted to find our earlier one, you wouldn't be able to. Only I have it. Well, actually, we have it technically. But we're gonna do this with the audio, and it's gonna be fun. Good times.
Let's do it. We're gonna start out here with Eric Bischoff making his way to the chamber.
He is leaving.
He's leaving. Okay.
Yes, we don't need to hear what he says. We'll have the entrances of the wrestlers and then the match.
All right.
And now, introducing the six participants in the first ever Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah, Howard Finkel on the call. Of course, this is November 17th, 2002.
Good night. Brock Lesnar lost his championship to the Big Show. And Paul Heyman turned on him.
What a wild time that was.
This was the November of my senior year of high school. And I was a little out on the product at the time. So I did not watch this live. I might have. I wasn't paying attention to the product as much. But I might have taped this. Did not really care. And once Shawn Michaels, spoiler alert, Shawn Michaels wins. I was just kind of like out on it because I was like, oh my God, like, I thought this was like the new generation. Shawn Michaels is the champion in 2002. Like, get out of here.
We got Saliva playing Chris Jericho's like alternate theme song to the ring here. King of My World. I like that song.
From the World. They were at the, this was WWE now. So they changed WWF New York to The World.
And that was the name of the club that it was before WWE. It's called The World Nightclub. So, like, maybe we could change it back. People might come back.
Oh, it was before WWF New York?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was like, I think maybe not right before, but it was definitely known as that. Gotcha. So they changed it back because nobody was going to WWF New York.
Well, especially the WWE New York doesn't have a good ring to it.
Not quite. Yeah, but that was
those pods look very, very small compared to the way they are now. The way the chamber is built now is very different than the first one we saw.
Very different indeed. I think the changes, though, I mean, some people are like, oh, we want to hear their backs because they're going to hit the green. We want to hear that, feel that danger. It's like, that stuff hurt, bro. Y'all don't have to feel. That's easy for you to say.
Right.
So obviously the new chamber is built with safety in mind for the wrestlers, where this one, they didn't give a damn. They all that stuff about the steel and what was it, 60 feet of steel and all that, like, that was real. Go out there and crash your bodies, please.
Yeah, this is the match Triple H tore his trachea as well.
Yeah, nasty injury. Here we go.
You hear that?
Oh yeah.
That story.
I love it. Yeah. I love Booker T.
Have you heard the latest on him?
What's that?
Have you heard the latest on him?
What is the latest?
Not great. Story came out on Fightful about Rachel.
Let me see. Oh no, I'm here doing an impersonation and I've missed what's going on in the world. These current events, man. Alright, let me do a quick Google search here.
Rachel Rose and Sean Reed had an incident and Booker T apparently fired Rachel Rose over it. Years ago at his Reality of Wrestling company in Texas.
Okay.
There was multiple incidents, and he apparently blamed Rachel Rose.
What happened to Rachel?
For having a stalker, basically.
Oh, my God. That came out today?
No, a couple days ago.
Oh, my God. I'm still out of the loop.
Yeah, it was really out of nowhere, honestly.
Jeez.
I did not...
My birthday was this past weekend, so forgive me for being out of the loop on certain things. Jeez. Poor form, Booker T. What's going on?
Yeah, he's out. He had a procedure recently. So
yeah.
He hasn't been on NXT TV.
I did hear that. I did hear he had a procedure recently. That's why he wasn't on NXT. Well, that sucks. We got Booker T. We got Chris Jericho, too. He's got you know, people have been throwing allegations his way.
This is when Shawn Michaels forgot his gear.
he had to wear the doo-doo brown tights.
Yeah, with the cowboy boots. I mean, like, that's part of the reason why I was like, seriously, this guy's the champion now?
Why like, do you have a backup pair of brown tights? Why would the brown tights ever be the backup pair? You can have a better-looking backup pair.
I mean, was it his? Like, was it even his? I don't know.
I don't know. They're brown.
They could have been Mankind's tights. He wore brown.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a bad look for someone to become champion. It's like, the hell?
You didn't look like a good champion.
He did. I was like, it was 2002, you know? I'm like, all right, Shawn Michaels is washed. He clearly wasn't, but, you know, here I am coming out of the Attitude Era, and I'm just kind of like, I'm ready for what's next, and it's just not hitting with me as a fan. I just wasn't, like, as entertained. And obviously, I was also, like, growing up, I was a senior in high school. I was focusing on other things. And, yeah. That's kind of where I was at this point.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam coming out. Yeah, like, what was I?
Put it on Rob Van Dam, then, if anyone. Not Shawn Michaels. Like, why are you not going to put it on an RVD? And then they did it 4 years later.
He was super over in 2002, by the way. But I'm trying to think of where I was in November. I'm still mad at Booker T, man. I'm here doing the damn thing. And Booker T out here cutting up, bro. What the hell? But November 2002, I would have been in, I think, 7th grade. No, I would have been in 8th grade. Because I graduated from 8th grade in June 2003. So I would have been 8th grade. I did not watch this live, but I was watching the product, obviously, every week. Wondering why things haven't been quite as good since the Attitude Era, since Steve Austin turned heel at WrestleMania 17. I always get to watch. This is the time I got to watch WrestleMania every year, though. My mom wouldn't order all the pay-per-views, but she'd give me WrestleMania. So I did watch WrestleMania and 2001 and 2002. For some reason, we skipped 03, which I still don't understand why we did that. Because in 04, I watched WrestleMania 20. So, I don't know.
03 was interesting because I was on my senior trip to Disney World the week before, and I got home that Saturday night, and then WrestleMania was that Sunday right after. And I was tired, and I was just like, my mom kept asking me, like, do you want me to order WrestleMania? And I was like, I don't know, man. But, like, at the same time, I didn't want to. I guess I was still involved enough in watching. Because I was still kind of, like, on a sabbatical. I didn't really care about Lesnar versus Angle at the time. Obviously, as the years passed, I started enjoying it more and more. But during the moment, I was just not a fan of it as much as I was the Attitude Era stuff, obviously. So that kind of, you know, it took me a while to come around. So I was like, yeah, I guess order WrestleMania, and I taped it. Actually, did I tape 19? Yeah, I think I did. And I just never watched it after the fact because I just didn't care. I was like, okay, Brock won. They did this big moment where he tried a shooting star press, and it didn't work. And of course it didn't work because wrestling sucks now. So, you know, I was so negative about it, but not, you know, like, ready to turn my back on it and move on. I was just like, give me something that I like, you know, like there wasn't much that I liked watching at the time. So it wasn't until the Iron Man match between Brock and Kurt in 2003 on SmackDown that I kind of like came back a little bit. And I started watching more every week.
This time period just wasn't that great of a time period. I don't think a lot of people talk about how kind of like mid the like second half of 02 was for WWE. You know, this Elimination Chamber match was a memorable point, and we got the Brock Lesnar Undertaker stuff. But obviously, we also got Triple H and Kane. That was not even mid. That was garbage.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
That was not long before this.
We got also, this is post-brand split. So we got like Deacon Batista out here. We got Brother Devon. We got Bubba Ray just on his own. JBL being a cowboy again. He's pretty much reverted back to Justin Hawk Bradshaw. It's like, that's garbage.
This was just before Scott Steiner came in. Scott, well, actually, Scott Steiner was already here, but then they did the AAA Scott Steiner stuff. Late 02 and 03, and that wasn't great at all.
No. But this was good. We got Triple H and RVD starting out here in the Elimination Chamber. But yeah, it wasn't like it was fire. And then they took away the IC title for some reason. They was merging titles together. Why would you get rid of the Intercontinental Championship just to bring it back like 6 months later? It was so goofy.
Yeah. I think I'll put the sound up when the new entrants come in, and then once the final one comes in, I'll put the sound up again. That way, we're good.
They were making a lot of weird decisions at this point. They just hand Triple H a belt,
which became, shockingly, their most important title after a bit.
Well, yeah, because Triple H had it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, surprisingly, so, but not really.
That was main eventing WrestleMania 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
For some reason. Oh, broke the cage.
It was funny, though, because that
first five minutes of the match, they talk about how dangerous this cage is. In the first 5 minutes, Triple H already bust out of it. How did the Elimination Chamber survive this?
I was not even like impressed with the match concept. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, I was confused by it.
Like,
I didn't.
Why the pods though? Why can't you just have them enter from the back or something? like into one door, and they just enter like a Royal Rumble or something. Like, why are they in pods just watching? Like,
when you saw it, what was your first impressions of the cage? Because I was kind of in awe, because I didn't see it obviously live. I saw it later. I was like, oh, what the hell? And I remember seeing it in the video game too, which was dope. They had it like in the next SmackDown game. Fire. Here comes the pain. But it's an odd shaped structure, that Elimination Chamber, this original one.
I thought it was geeky. I was just like, this looks stupid. Like, well, just bring back War Games or something. Like, or just have a Hell in a Cell. Like, just didn't. Like, what's the difference? I guess you can't go under the ring. Like, you can in Hell in a Cell. Like, that's kind of like, I was looking for things that, made them think this was actually different. And it's like, what do the pods, like, why are we getting pods? Like, why is it so much better for them to be in pods versus coming from, well, I guess that's why, because Chris Jericho is grabbing Rob Van Dam's leg. From the top, where I guess RVD was going to jump off his pod, but there's an opening that, why is there not a lid on that? Like, I don't know. Like, it just, I guess the Spears, when Goldberg was part of it in the second one, spearing through the pods, that was a cool moment, but
that was hard.
Yeah. That's, I guess, what makes it different, but like, if you got to rely on that stuff to make it just feel different, then. Rob Van Dam just did like a somersault and landed right on the steel. It's like, that hurt. jumped off to hit Triple H, but he landed completely on the steel with his left quad. We get shown a replay here. It's like, oh my God, that hurt.
And people wanted to see this still. It hurt, bro.
The only cool thing about that was the sound it made, I guess.
That's it. That's the only thing that matters to the fans is that sound. Because it hurt. No, I'm good, bro. They can put a pad down there.
Yeah, right.
It's all right. And they have steel grates with steel chain link.
Yeah.
But they got the bigger
it's
pods.
Black. It's color. It's painted black, so it's not silver. I guess that makes it different. Here we go.
All right.
Who's coming out next?
Who will be eliminated from their chamber? How do we find out? Who do we know?
We got Chris Jericho. Oh, my Lord.
Rob Van Dam's boots are now
Oh man. Not today. Oh, he's your favorite referee, Earl Hebner.
Of course. He's probably going to do some really stupid things. I would actually be shocked if he didn't.
My goodness gracious.
He's probably
it's funny you look, say all this because apparently the wrestlers always liked Earl Hebner as a referee. For, you know, I don't. They have their reasons, I'm sure. I don't know how to judge
like,
referees.
He had to be a good communicator for them. Like, that's the only reason I can think of. Because the way he does a referee's job is terrible. Like, no one can respect him for that. He just has to be like, like, come on.
Ooh.
Oh, RVD the Frog.
Little Spider-Man action there.
There you go.
Also,
that's
I
what's cool.
H.
I guess you can't really do that in Hell in a Cell, right? It's not easier to do that in the Elimination Chamber fence than it is the Hell in a Cell fence.
And Triple H is bleeding already, it looks like, too.
Yeah, he's been bleeding for a while, of course, because you know he's the first one in there. Him and RVD start the match, so he wants the most attention.
And he likes Ric Flair, so
yeah,
Ric Flair had the big match. Ric Flair would bleed here.
This
it's like
is, before Evolution as well.
Yeah, it's like, what would Rick do? Would Rick bleed in this match? Rick would bleed in this match for sure.
Oh, absolutely. He might come into the match bleeding.
This is definitely time where Triple H is trying to be like Rick, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the suits he had. He would change, maybe change the colors in his trunks for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd have like blue trunks, purple.
And white boots.
Red. Yeah, white boots. I think he wore like silver a couple times. Like, what the and red? I was like, what the hell is going on here?
I was down with that. I was down with that at a time. I was like,
but it was
right.
like it was definitely
his beard, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but, okay. He had the shaved beard with the like the luxurious hair.
Yeah. I hated that, by the way. Like, that's part of the reason that turned me off. It's like, what are these guys doing with their appearances? Shawn Michaels got shorter hair. I was like, you look like a geek, dude. Like, I'm. That's when it affected me that I was like, I don't want people to know I watch this. You know, I was in that frame of mind watching, but I got out of that after a few years. But yeah, just it was just so stupid. It's like Rob Van Dam's the most normal looking person here. Kane's like Kane. Jericho's,
Kane is Kane.
Whatever.
Booker T is black. Booker you T. know.
He's got the same, you know, hair and trunks that he normally does. He didn't really change too much about his look until he kind of grew out the hair. So, anyway, I think he does look better with longer hair.
I want to say that this is, we got Triple H and Jericho working together here on RVD, about to probably throw him back first into the chain.
Yeah,
ooh, ow, that was a stiff looking part, too. That did not look like.
It looked like he was close to the part where.
Yeah, the beam, steel beam there. That didn't look
too much.
Good at all.
Here's a replay. Oh, yeah, he was close to it. He was close to it.
That is stiff for sure. Triple H is a Hall of Famer and all, but this run here when he was like the world champ, this was tough to watch at times. They crashing RVD. Oh my God.
Oh, the beam again.
Oh my goodness. It's slinging him back and forth.
I guess that's where you like, this is what the Elimination Chamber is about. I was like,
yeah,
right. Like I get it. Like I've seen it in a steel cage though. Like,
got it, man.
The only thing that's different is they're on a platform, not on the floor. So,
yeah, I still think they could have just, I mean, I like the Elimination Chamber for what it is. I think it's a fine match, but I would give up Elimination Chamber if I got 20 years of War Games. I'm sorry. But I do appreciate Elimination Chamber. It has, they've been some quality matches over the years. I cannot complain. Some of the pay-per-views haven't been great, but you know, some of the Elimination Chamber matches are, worth watching again. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
we're watching the very first one.
They've had a very good run. And that was the first match that had a Money in the Bank cash down. Well, actually, technically, that was after, but you know what I mean.
Now they're both pay-per-views.
Yeah.
We had a Money in the Bank and an Elimination Chamber. Now that sounds crazy. I guess
Booker
you could still
T.
do it. Oh. People used to be cashing well before Elimination Chamber, though.
Yeah.
But we got Damian Priest with his briefcase.
Who, by the way, like, what kind of dumb story is that? He's not allowed to cash it in. That's not medically cleared, but it's like, then why is it okay to cash in when, like, your opponent is literally out cold? You know, like, is he medically cleared? Like, how do we do that? Like, how do we judge that? This is like a very stupid explanation. I wish they would, you know, have a better one. I'm not saying I have the answer. And damn, that was a wicked spinning heel kick from Booker T to Van Dam. But having the explanation of Damian Priest not catching in, that he can't while Seth is medically not cleared, is a very, very flimsy explanation.
Yeah, because I'm sure after they've had a match, they wouldn't technically be medically cleared. There's no examination on the spot to determine whether this person is medically cleared. We've seen people with, like, on one leg limping around like a wounded animal, and they're like, ding, bleeding. Ding, ding. Get out there, Alberto Del Rio.
That's literally how Edge won, you know, when he cashed in. Like, John Cena was decimated and bleeding. Right. And he got a spear, and then he kicked out. It's like, oh my God, come on. Edge hit him with another one and pinned him. So it's like, what is this medically cleared crap? Literally, the whole reason to cash in the money in the bank is to take advantage of someone who is messed up.
Maybe they,
for lack of a better term.
Maybe they deem medically cleared that he's not, like, actively wrestling. So if you're actively wrestling, you are cleared to you're open to this.
Then but if you're not actively wrestling, for not cashing in when he realizes he was hurt against Ginger. It's like, were you not watching the match, Damian? Like, what's going on here?
That wasn't in the script, my baby. Wasn't in the script, dog.
Uh-oh, is this...
looks like it.
Our man going up. Frog splash that breaks his trachea.
Sure they replayed this tape. Triple H is like, I need this pod to look like this. I need the ceiling to be higher. Make the ceiling higher. Okay? Look at this tape, and now you see what I'm talking about. And that sound you hear is Triple H's feet just banging against the mat because he's in trouble. He somehow finished his match, though. I give him credit.
Yeah. And Earl's like, dude, you all right?
He's like, I can't speak. Can't even talk.
Earl's like, all right, well, you're not saying no, so you're fine now.
And, of course, Triple H, you know, this happens because RVD can't really stand all the way up on top of this pod. So he kind of takes like a half jump type of deal, and he lands like knee first right into Triple H's throat. Almost killed him.
Yeah.
He went straight to the hospital. Yeah. Right after. Could have died.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and RVD just gets unceremoniously eliminated. That was rough.
You know, Triple H and his Madison Square Garden injuries. Remember that street fight against Cactus Jack? And he had like that wooden... what do they call it? The platform stuff. What the hell?
Pallet.
Yeah, there we go. And part of that stuck in his skin. You know,
I don't remember that, man.
Could have got tetanus or something. They did suplex. Cactus Jack suplexed him, and his leg hit the edge of the pallet. Then they were in the
like his calf or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I remember that.
So that was in MSG. So,
man,
crazy. And then he lost the world title to Chris Benoit. Oh, jeez. MSG.
Oh, I forgot about that. My goodness. Like a
cursed place for Triple H.
Yeah.
And he made his return, you know, earlier this year at MSG when he came back from his torn quad.
Man, that was a mean looking Alabama slam.
It was. Yeah, he felt that.
Oh my goodness.
Man, felt that one.
That's one of those where they would say, oh, he just got his bell rung. But it looked like, man. Who we got?
I like how they spotlight the pods that are vacant.
Somebody might come out of that one. Heat up. Get it? Because it's Kane.
Kane is in, so that means the last person will be the very ugly Shawn Michaels.
The very ugly? Oh, my God.
That is the reason they made him last. Like,
oh, my goodness.
We know you have a bad
gracious.
Back, but that's not the reason you're going to be last. Like, look at you. That's the reason you're going
to
be last.
Oh, my God. If anything, they put him in first and eliminate him, so nobody had to look at him if he's that ugly. My God. I don't think you're ugly, Shawn Michaels, just for the record.
His
attire, yeah, I'll give you that. I think even Shawn Michaels would admit that.
It's like, we can't have that on TV for too long. We need to hide attire. You in the pod. Hide you in the pod for as long as we can.
Rough attire for winning a world title. I know you're like, damn, I could have worn some cool stuff. Had some hot stuff. No, not tonight. Oh, my God. Threw him straight through the pod.
Kane throws Jericho through the pod. Another, you know, I'm not going to say perk of this match, but that's, you really don't see that in any other type of match. So that's obviously part of the structure that, you know, I guess makes this match unique.
Fans pop big for that spot, obviously. Nobody knew that was going to happen. Now you almost expect it. You almost like are kind of waiting for the spot where somebody goes through the pod. But in 2002, that was violent.
Just like this whole environment, the soulless steel structure.
Soulless
steel structure.
Usually steel doesn't have a soul, typically. Man, Celtics beat the Nets by 50. Man, that's some bad NBA teams.
You know who else doesn't have soul? The 49ers.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Booker T about to get eliminated. Oh, no. Oh, not the low blow to the choke slam. Why did he do that, man?
This is also after what Kane,
after what he apparently did not do, probably deserved it now. Sorry, Booker T. You got to go.
That might have been the best line saw I've ever seen Chris Jericho do.
That was an impressive one. I'll give you that.
It had some height, and it legit looked like it hurt. Earl grabbed
immediately
him.
Give him the boot.
Oh, my God, Earl. Relax.
Roll him on out. Get out of here, Booker T.
Oh, Jericho's busted open.
Oh, man. The plexiglass spot should do it. You know, that would be a good time to do it when you get thrown through the chamber.
Yes, this is still masked Kane. He would not lose his mask for another, 7 months?
Something like that. Fresh off the...
But by this point, you know, a lot of people were over Kane as well.
I mean, of course. Why would they be with Kane after the KD Vick stuff? There's no coming back from that.
Not even that. It's just like he's got no story left. Like, brothers are Undertaker's on Raw, or SmackDown, I should say. And Kane's just kind of like chilling. Here. Like he's got no story.
Taking part in
what story he was given was Katie Vick. So yeah.
Ooh, what the hell, man? This is why we know like Vince McMahon had a sick mind, all right? This lawsuit that came out, if anything, it allegedly confirmed what we sort of already knew about the guy. Why the hell would he do this? Why the hell would he do that? On national television, bro. Like, we got to have some type of standards and decorum here.
Yeah. I'm sure that really got rid of a lot of wrestling fans at the time.
Oh, my God.
That was when I wasn't following it as much.
Bro, I was watching it. Obviously, I couldn't believe. I didn't fully understand what I was watching because I was too young. I was 13. I'm like, I don't know what's fully happening here, but I am uncomfortable regardless.
Yeah.
I am not comfortable right now, and I am not interested.
I don't think I was taping the episodes as much either, and I remember obviously like there weren't clips on the internet, you know, at the time either. So TV was still like must watch TV type of thing, and I remember like the reactions, just people being like, "Yo, this was disgusting! I can't believe they did that! I'm never watching again!" And I didn't know what they were talking about. And then eventually I saw it and I was just like, really? Like, again, like a lot of stuff didn't bother me. So I didn't understand the outrage, but then I didn't understand why people thought it was like it was either. So
look, again, I wasn't fully aware, but man, that was bizarre stuff.
Oh, man, I believe Shawn Michaels is here. Look at that. Oh my god.
I don't know, man. Those are some wild ones. He could have just threw on the blue jeans he had at SummerSlam.
Yeah, why not that?
He would have looked like he's a man winning the world championship, but maybe that's him wanting him to win the world title in dungarees. But then you got John Cena winning the world title in jorts all 16 right. times. No one has won more, allegedly. Pretty sure Ric Flair is still claiming like 22 world titles.
Just means you lost 21 times.
It ain't like sports.
Actually, 22 times at this point. He's not the champion, but
no, he ain't gonna be. Hopefully not. Don't. Nobody get no ideas. Thinking of getting Ric Flair a title, a world title in 2024.
I was just looking over at Dynamite because I was like, watch Tony Khan put a title on Rick, but Orange Cassidy is in a match and he is busted open. Bam.
Ooh. I would have that open in my tab right now, but my computer does not handle multiple tabs well at the same time, at least not like with video playing actively in the background, so I will have to watch it later. But Kane is on a choke slam streak here. You get some too, Chris Jericho.
No, do Earl. Do Earl next.
Wow. Knox County, Tennessee. What's up? That's what he said after that. The anti-masker. Glenn Jacobs made his whole career, made all his fortune wearing a mask. Not a K95 or whatever, N95 or something like that. Not one of those masks, but it's still a mask nonetheless. You would think he would appreciate masks for what they were, how important they were.
Especially after he unmasked, he became an evil monster.
He became an evil monster. Oh my god! Like
Linda McMahon after he unmasked.
Man, Vince McMahon is a wild dude. Yeah, somebody tombstone his wife on television, bro. Goodbye, Kane.
Oh my god, the lion salt.
Yo, the lion salt is cooking people.
They're protecting that move like it's the diamond cutter.
Lion salt is cooking people right now. Look, like we're down to our final three. We got Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho taking everybody out. Yeah, that was a wild one. The Linda McMahon thing.
Putting Shane McMahon's testicles.
Oh my god. You said he became an evil monster.
What the hell are they called?
Jumper cables.
Jumper cables. Yeah, I'm forgetting like the most basic of words tonight. Jeez.
He's also pretty evil with the mask still, too. Like started out as
well.
Like,
he set Jim Ross the nicest guy without the mask, so he did some crazy stuff without the mask.
He did. They turned him into like a psychopath without the mask, like actively like terrorizing people on the roster.
Yeah, that's got to be a meme that gets sent around now. Be like, Kane was fine when he had the mask on. He was just an angry like guy. But once he took the mask off, he became an evil.
He only set his brother on fire. That's all he did. He apologized. They won tag team titles together.
That might be why he hates masks.
When he took his mask off, he murdered his brother. He had to come back from the dead to get his revenge. He murdered the Undertaker. Buried him alive.
At WrestleMania 20, he literally says, "I killed you."
Right. Does say that. I killed you.
He literally said that.
He just confessed to murder in front of thousands.
You're not real. I killed you. I remember it like it was yesterday. Man.
I 100% know exactly what you're talking about. He reaches out slowly, and the Undertaker just steals him in the face, socks him. What a time that was. Oh, I was so hyped to see the Undertaker come back as
Me
the
too.
Dead man.
Me too.
I'm so excited. I guess it's about this time where Undertaker is dead, right? Like, this is Post American Badass? No, this is 02.
Yeah.
This is 02, not 03.
A year later, it would be Survivor Series where Kane kills him.
Kills him dead.
An unmasked Kane kills him.
Yeah, we just saw Kane in this match with his mask on. Well, duh. What am I talking about? Next year, Survivor Series, yes. Traditional Survivor Series. Was it Team Bischoff? Was that Team Bischoff, Team Austin? No, that's a Buried Alive match with Vince and Undertaker. Yeah,
that was the first like team. It was Bischoff versus Austin as the traditional Survivor Series match, and then the Buried Alive match was the main event.
Yeah, that was Undertaker and Vince, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Kills you. I killed you.
Man, that was like, you know, who do you root for in that one?
Man.
Undertaker and Vince in a Buried Alive. Probably Undertaker, right?
What a time. What a strange set of circumstances.
It was weird how that so I was like kind of getting back in it because that was a month after the Brock Angle Iron Man. Didn't really understand the Vince Taker feud that much, but I just know.
Yeah, I don't remember what started it. What was the point of that in hindsight? I haven't gone back to watch it, obviously.
Rumors going around. Taker's grown his hair out, so you know, dead Taker's coming back and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I started picking up steam watching.
Dead Taker's coming back.
I was kind of like annoyed though, because when it came back, WrestleMania 20, his hair wasn't as long as I wanted.
Right, he couldn't get it quite as long as it was before.
Man, I wanted it longer.
I wanted it longer. But it wasn't. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't quite as long. We all saw it. They didn't exactly hide the fact that it was going to be the Dead Man either. It wasn't like they like promoted regular old Undertaker, and they gave him the old switcheroo. It was like it's clearly old school Undertaker coming back here.
I thought we were going to see the gray gloves and stirrups, but it's basically just the same gear. I was kind of like, oh, well, that kind of sucks. I wanted the gray back, but whatever. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Chris Jericho in this match, and they're all busted open.
I like how JR said Bischoff could care less of these people putting their careers in the line. Like, no, that's Vince McMahon. Wrong person. The Lion saw cooking everybody.
That's it.
I will say
the only one to kick out of a line salt in this match.
I will say JR's call at the end of this match is one of the best of all time.
Earl Hebner not even looking at the shoulders.
His call, JR's call at the end of this match is one of the best of all time. JR's on his game for this match.
Cowboy boot. Oh, moonsault. Mike Sean still has it. Look.
Ooh,
look at what is Earl doing?
Yo.
That son of a bitch, bastard.
That was kind of wild, I will admit. That was a wild motion he did there.
There's so much evidence of this exact thing in his career.
Oh, man.
He's a lion tamer, Shawn Michaels has. It just doesn't make sense. Triple H, you know.
Ooh.
Stopping it and then giving a DDT to Shawn while he can barely breathe. Like, how is
it?
Why
did he pull him off?
I want to know.
Why did Triple H pull him off?
How's he talking? Oh.
Oh, my God. That's near his throat.
Triple H and Jericho, though.
I don't understand what happened here.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. But...
Triple H is in excruciating pain. It does not look like it. I would have left. Like, y'all can have the belt. Take me straight to the hospital.
Give me a lion salt. Pin me.
Pin me, pay me, get me to the hospital. Okay, I'm done. I have clocked out. My shift is over. My throat is crushed. Okay.
I don't even know.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go back and watch the Raw after this to see if he showed up.
I don't recall. I do not recall. If he did, he probably had a neck brace on or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did. Earl hurt his hurt. He's so stupid. He hurt his shoulder doing that stupid pin. He's like grabbing his shoulder. He's like, of course you hurt it because you're stupid. A rope break in the Elimination Chamber. Oh! Sweet Shin music.
My God. My God.
That's it. We got Shawn and Triple H left. We'll lay out at the end of the match to let Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler take you home, but that was, as you said earlier, one of the best called finishes that JR has ever had. It's like a SummerSlam rematch now, except in a Elimination Chamber.
Would you look at that?
Shawn Michaels looking stupid as hell.
Right.
Earl's still trying to like, get his shoulder back in its socket.
His shoulder back in its
like,
socket.
He's doing all these stupid ass movements because he like hurt himself doing that pin.
Man.
Gotta make Triple H look strong.
He's been bleeding since he started.
Yeah, right. He kind of protected his back pretty well there. Speed hit well before his back. Back body drop. You see, Earl still moved his shoulder like, damn, what'd I do?
Hey, man, sometimes you just get old, man. Stuff be getting out of socket.
Shawn Michaels got a pedigree on the bat. Oh.
My God. Another person through the plexiglass. To the plexiglass.
That's two of them. Shawn's taking a nap. I'll tell you, I always tried that slingshot when I was doing like backyard wrestling, and I was always mad at it not working. It's like you're supposed to go like fly that way. I always thought I wasn't doing it right. Every fiber of his being, Shawn Michaels returning one last time, leaving his home, leaving his family, leaving his security. There's Jim Ross.
Leaving his security. Leaving his family. He's got a family. And it left him. One man that can stop Triple H from not leaving with a title, and that is Shawn Michaels. But unfortunately, Shawn Michaels is going to leave his body and his health inside this Elimination Chamber. He's finished, JR. He's done for. He's a goner. He's done for.
It's almost like a match within the match. I didn't realize how long it was. Just Triple H versus Shawn Michaels.
I mean, of course. They liked wrestling each other a lot.
They had a match on Raw later, the end of 2003, and they had a rematch at the Royal Rumble 2004. That ended,
yeah,
it was the last man standing. That was a draw.
Didn't they have something in like a Bad Blood too? Or was that, what am I tripping about?
Yeah,
that
was 2003 as well. Yeah,
2003. Okay,
skipped over that one. Yeah,
yeah. They have had a bunch of matches.
The Three Stages of Hell, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was like, next month.
50 some odd minutes.
Yeah,
they did that.
When they had matches together, they would be like 30, 40-minute matches.
Yeah.
And they weren't that dope, to be honest with you. You would think that Shawn Michaels and Triple H would have legendary matches because of how good they are. But their matches really wasn't – I think they just were too long, honestly. But they wasn't like the classics would think they would be. And I think the classics that they wanted them to be. They wanted classics. They wanted bangers. And I don't think they quite reached it. This is probably their best match. And this match right here is not even their match. It's the Elimination Chamber. But this is probably the most dramatic and most exciting encounter they had against each other that I can remember. And maybe, I guess, you know, in hindsight, we can talk about, you know, how it's tainted. But, like, the WrestleMania 20 match, when it happened, was a classic. So,
like Shawn Michaels finagled himself in there, where it should have just been Triple H and Chris Benoit, should have been one-on-one. There were so many people that didn't like the triple threat aspect to it, because it was the first one that main event at WrestleMania. It was like, no, it's always been like one-on-one. Come on. So a lot of people were upset about that, including me. I was just like, I don't want Shawn to be involved. Like, there's no need. And but again, there was no story that was as good as SummerSlam 2002, so you can't recreate that. Like,
oh yeah, that's definitely the best match. I take that back. I'm sorry. I said this. It was definitely SummerSlam 2002.
Like,
for sure.
And that was the first one. So, like, how can you get better than that? You really can. I think they struggled because they wanted to. And Shawn got that confidence back. And it's like, no, like, we can do something special here. It's just they never got to that point because the emotion and the story just wasn't there. And the way it was at SummerSlam, too.
That first match had so much emotion behind it because it was, you know, the relationship that they had was a roller coaster relationship to that point. And Shawn Michaels' first match back in 4 years. So it was like a lot of emotions at play. And the match itself was classic, had a great ending. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they tried to run it back multiple times. And it did not, the magic was not recaptured. This was close, though. This Survivor Series match was close.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of ran through the two options, right?
Oh, off the top of the pod. I'm surprised Triple H took that move.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. After what happened with RVD, I'd have been like, no, nobody jumping off the pod, not the for the rest of the night. I mean, I'm sure it's a safer move, not really safer for Shawn Michaels. He lands on his hip, but I'm sure it's a little better for Triple H. But man, I'd still be like, we can skip that. It's a move to super kick, and we're out of here.
Yeah,
you don't need to hit the elbow spot.
They just go through the emotions of their match at 0-2, and then this, Shawn Michaels winning the title. Like, where do you go from there? Like, you can't, doesn't get better than that for the whole story, right? Like, Shawn Michaels winning the title again would be cool, but it just doesn't hit the same. What is Earl doing?
Yeah,
he's literally standing right next to Shawn Michaels.
Earl's like, trying to communicate something.
Like, get out of here, Earl.
I'm sure he's talking.
Yeah,
but that's the best way he knows how to do this in this moment. He's walking back and forth.
Just kick Earl. Get him out of here.
Oh no. Big pen.
It's always so
not
funny,
enough energy for the pen.
The sweet chin music that Shawn Michaels misses are always like so. Like, you could. It's so telegraphed, though, because he has to do it differently because it's going to get countered. And it's so funny compared to when he actually hits it, like how different it is. It doesn't look similar at all. Like, when he misses it versus when it's countered, it just doesn't look similar. Hey, that was a good count by Earl. It looked believable. I'll give him his credit when he deserves it. That was the very first time I've ever seen him do something good.
This should have worked.
Triple H is yelling at Earl.
He's still in it. He's on spaghetti legs, that Shawn Michaels.
Here we go.
Believe in miracles. Tom Blackwell believes in himself. Michael believed in his ability to win this match, and he has survived it.
That's awesome. That's a great call.
Yo, look at this beat, JR. I've never seen anything like it. This beat Times Square in New York City, doesn't it? What a night. A sold-out Madison Square Garden. The Survivor Series. And here's how it went down. The second attempt of the pedigree. And boom! Right on the jaw. Sweet tip music. My God, I don't believe it. I'm not believing this night. Shawn Michaels has it. He's done the impossible, JR. Shawn Michaels is back in the record books. Shawn Michaels is back on top. Shawn Michaels is the man. Shawn Michaels is the world's heavyweight champion. In his own word, JR, there's a new sheriff in town. The WWE, you better believe,
Shawn Michaels looked weird with the big gold belt. I'm sorry. He looked bizarre with the big gold belt. But it is what it is. Shawn Michaels, world heavyweight champion, the last time he wins a world title in his wrestling career, not the last championship overall. I know he won the tag titles with Cena at some point. He might have held another title after that. I don't know. But either way, his last world championship was this night, Survivor Series 2002. Good match overall. Obviously, the ending, I think, is probably, not probably, by far, the most memorable part of that match. You know, the stuff actually within the chamber was, it was unique, but, you know, it wasn't like, but outside of the, I was to say, the pod breaking, multiple times, that was probably the most memorable thing for me as far as the chamber. But the drama and the way they told that story of Shawn Michaels and, you know, coming back from injury and winning another one, winning one more world title after 4 years of being away, that was well done. So, but here we are again, 22 years ago today, 22 years ago. This year, I should say, the very first Elimination Chamber. And here we are today with the whole pay-per-view that's happening in Perth, Australia in a matter of days. Where, named after the show, after this match, I should say.
Where is probably the, I'm still assuming Rhea Ripley is going to main event, so the spotlight will probably be on the women's chamber match more so than the men's. Be awesome. It'd be coming from, you know, 22 years ago to now, like, you believe we're having a women's chamber match. Like, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And women's everything, you know, when Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble, you know, stuff like that is just incredible where we're at today. I will say, I'm not like, I still part of the reason I didn't like this at the time. I appreciate it now, obviously, Jim Ross's call, you know. They spent years telling us that, you know, WWF's the place where the young stars shine. You know, we don't need any of the old guys. Jim Ross was literally the guy telling me this on commentary, you know, every week. And that's part of it, you know. Like, I was still in high school, so the Attitude Era was great, but I loved wrestling before the Attitude Era. I feel like if they had better young stars and that were champions, I would have not felt the way I did. But to me, it was always like, you were telling me for years, stuff like this sucked. Mm. Like, Shawn Michaels is an old guy, like, and he's now world champion. Like, you told me for years, and this is just my thinking, like, he wasn't really old in real life,
and,
but
like, and it wasn't like wrestling, his, he was. He walked away, he had no choice. Right. But I see what you're saying. You're not old enough to recognize the nuances in the situation, I guess.
So it was like, Jim Ross, you literally told me, like, old, like, Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper were old geezers, stuff like that. Like, why is this different? Like, I know Shawn's younger, but not by much. And, like, now he's the world champion. You're pushing older guys for these moments because you have no other competition. So you were the guy telling me, and now you're saying, do you believe it? Do you believe in miracles, Shawn Michaels, blah, blah, blah. Like, so that's just kind of like a microcosm of my issues with the wrestling product that after WCW was bought. The invasion, like, I tried to be into it. I mean, I was into it, but, like, it could have been so much better. And then 2002, just the way that year went, that's just why I was out, you know, like, on the product, why I took a sabbatical. So it's kind of funny that it took an Iron Man match that a lot of people don't like. There's a lot of people out there that didn't like the Lesnar Angle Iron Man match.
Oh, no, SmackDown. I love it. Yeah, and I should say, I said earlier 2002 was mid. I should specify Raw was mid in 2002 because SmackDown was good in 2002 with the SmackDown 6 and Brock Lesnar as the champion. Right. So, yeah, let me clarify before people try to roast me. Like, but the SmackDown 6, 2002 was awesome. Listening.
Hopefully, they might be interventions already.
Right. Even though they don't even know this has happened yet as I'm saying it. But, yeah, let me clarify. You know, before you run into the social media, SmackDown was really good in 2002. Raw was mid at best. So let me clear. And this was a Raw match.
Correct.
SmackDown did not have the Elimination Chamber. So I guess they got the Hell in a Cell the month prior.
Yeah.
At No Way Out. No Mercy.
No Mercy.
No Mercy. And Raw got the Elimination Chamber. So, yeah, that's just... Yeah. Microcosm of also what Raw was at that point. Raw was like the bigger name guys show, you know, the bigger stars, the bigger names, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Chris Jericho, Booker T, Kane, you know, those guys with SmackDown, they were the younger guys, less established, Edge. I mean, you still had like, and I said Edge, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero, but you also still had stalwarts like Kurt Angle, obviously.
Right.
And Brock Lesnar was a superstar. So even though it's persona non grata now, but at this point, he's still the guy. So, yeah, to your point, I think the way the rosters were constructed probably was part of the reason why you didn't like, at least Raw at that point, because it was the older, more established people who had been around for a while. And you like, I'm kind of done with these guys.
Yeah, and I didn't really care much for technical wrestling and great stuff like that. Like, I was just like, okay, well, I didn't even care for the SmackDown 6 until I read about it, like, a couple years later, and everyone was talking about, oh, remember the glory days of the SmackDown 6? And I was like, oh, who are the SmackDown 6? Like, I was like, before SmackDown went back to blue ropes and had the silver apron, they had the black ropes and stuff like that. I just wasn't into that show either at the time.
The black ropes turned you off, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So
blue ropes, silver apron. You're like, this is heaven.
Well, listen, you go back and you watch this 2003 SmackDown with the blue ropes, the silver ring posts, the silver apron. It's so... sleek looking.
It was a good looking show. I will give you that. It was definitely a good looking show. The silver ring apron was a great touch.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how much I loved it until it wasn't there anymore. You know, it's like they brought back the black apron, and I'm just like, why does this show seem off? And it was the apron. It was the apron. So, but yeah, like the Lesnar Angle Iron Man, like it had a bunch of psychology through it. That's when I really started getting into the psychology of pro wrestling, that like I thought about it during the match, like, and that's why I love that match. And that kind of got into more and more by WrestleMania 20. I kind of was back, you know, and then I took another, you know, sabbatical later, but it's kind of like, you know, in this moment, it's like Shawn Michaels is champion, like, are you kidding me? And then he's still feuding with Triple H, like, over the title. He lost it the next month. It's like Rob Van Dam was so close there. Everyone wanted him to get it. I was like, if you're not giving him it, then I don't want to be watching this, because why? Like, it's just Triple H, Shawn Michaels, like, back and forth. That's it. So,
I mean, look, there are a lot of fans who, you know, were like you, checked out around this time.
And then, not to mention WrestleMania 19, where it should have been Booker T. And
oh, man, don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me started on that during Black History Month. But yeah, in light of what's come out recently about Booker T, maybe we shouldn't celebrate him quite as much, but, and in hindsight, that still was a horrible decision. Horrible decision. by Vince McMahon once again. Another one. But yeah, let's wrap it up for episode 387. Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
All right. Check me out at underscore Pacone on Twitter slash X. You can check us out at Shooters Radio on the same platform and at Facebook at facebook.com/Shooters Radio. You can check out this podcast and others at foxphlgambler.com. And also, you know, if you're feeling, you know, like you need to pick me up, you want to hear the 49ers lose again, go ahead and check out my Twitter.
Man. In case you need a pick me up, you can listen to this team's misery on your Twitter platform, on your X account. That's wild. That's wild stuff. You can find me at Vaughn M. Johnson on that platform, said platform X/Twitter. You can find my writing at www. Why did I say www again? Everybody knows that. Don't even type that in. What am I in my 50s? Why would I say that? You can find my work. I work for a website. I work in websites all the time. And like, I'm like, I'm familiar. I know the internet. But I'm saying www. You can find my work at wrestlingjunkie.usatoday.com. I'll have some more writing coming up there soon. Of course, we got WrestleMania coming up. So more coverage is on the way. I'll have some coverage on inquire.com too. You can check me out there as well. So, but yeah. Check us out also on Patreon, where you can request a future deep dive. Please do. We appreciate when you do. And when you make that request, we will fulfill it. And we'll have you make a cameo on the show that we're discussing. Does not have to be a wrestling show. It can be wrestling related, but it doesn't have to be a wrestling event. It could be a wrestling TV show, like Step by Step, as Nick mentioned earlier. It could be a movie.
I'd imagine Step by Step.
What was the show you mentioned? Full House?
Yeah.
My bad. Step by Step, Full House, whatever. But
no, 90s. Very different shows. Oh, my God.
90s family sitcoms.
That's right. TGIF.
They run together. They run TGIF. There you go. But, yeah, again, Patreon. Patreon.com/ShootersRadio. Put in a request. We will fulfill it. And you make a cameo on the show when we're diving deep into it. Nick, looks like you got something queued up here. What you got here?
I'm going to play this at the end.
Okay. It's terrible, terrible, somber moment. But until next time, for Nick McCone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 387, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
7 seconds, six. They are going to snap it. Mahomes going to roll to his right, throws, touchdown. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl. Mecole Hardman. As they roll Mahomes right, Mecole Hardman is wide open. And the Chiefs win the Super Bowl back-to-back years. Another heartbreaking loss for Kyle Shanahan.
Dang it!